101.4 on FM Sport.
Good morning, it's Saturday the 6th of February 2010 and you're listening to the On FM Football Show. We're live for you today from 10 a.m. all the way until 1 p.m. across Hammersmith and the West London area. We're going to be talking, of course, about all the football gossip. We've got some fun and games and features coming up. We've got Johnny Manara, fantastic artist, coming in. And we're, of course, going to be talking about the live On FM event that happened yesterday, last night, which we're all sort of still recovering from. So we'll talk to you about that. Make sure you stay with us, guys. Stay with us till 1 o'clock. Good morning and welcome back to the On FM Football Show. We're live with you today until 1 p.m. Of course, we're going to be talking about all the latest football gossip. But first, I must mention to you that some of you were probably there. We had a live event yesterday. We've been talking about it on the show recently. It was a charity event at O'Riordan's Pub in Brentford. And it was, as you can hear, it was a great night.
So good.
Yeah, it was a really good night. So good, in fact, that our producer is behind me, slumped over in a chair. He's asked someone else to fill in for him. It was that kind of night. Anyone that was there, it was O'Riordan's Pub in Brentford. It was a fantastic charity. Sure. The Milford House Hospice in County Limerick, Acoustra, a live band, came over from Ireland and played. So if you missed it, what were you doing? Where were you last night? We had a fantastic night. It was all for a good charity, and On FM were there. We were there in our famous white jumpers.
I love my jumper. It's so comfortable.
I heard a rumour there's one on eBay already.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll auction one off on the show. If you'd like to get a white jumper, make sure you get in contact with us. Our email address is thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk, or you can get on our Facebook page. Just get on Facebook and write on our wall. I'm sure we'll be alluding to the fact that we had a little charity night out and we're all feeling a bit worse. We'll talk about that later. But let's get to the football, boys. Big news yesterday. John Terry stripped of the captain's armband.
Why is that? What happened? Did I miss something?
For anyone that didn't see, obviously there's lots of allegations in the papers which we can neither confirm or deny. Mr. John Terry alleged to have slept with Wayne Bridges' girlfriend.
And the rest?
What's that?
Allegedly.
Slept with John Terry's girlfriend. Yeah, and others, apparently. But he's been stripped of his captain's armband now. Capello's taken it off him and given it to Rio Ferdinand. What do we think about that, Sean?
Do you think it matters enough for him to be taken away in the England captaincy? The whole, like, leading the country needs to be a role model. But on the flip side, is his personal life?
Well, I sort of made that point as, like, in an office, if you were to sleep with someone else in the office, although, you know, there might be trouble, would you lose your job?
No.
That's the thing, isn't
Definitely
it?
Definitely not.
Would you be demoted?
Yeah, but then it's not like he's been thrown out of the squad.
But he's
just
demoted,
lost his captaincy.
He's sort of been demoted. If you were the manager of a company and you were found sleeping with someone, what would happen?
If I was a manager of a company and there was a guy sleeping with a girl in the office, but that guy had, like, special privileges in his workplace, then if I caught him, I'd take him off him.
Really?
Just like the captaincy.
So are you in the camp that says it was right to take the armband off him?
I actually don't know. I'm, like, a little bit of both.
It is that kind of situation, isn't it? You sort of think, well, it's a good thing to do it, and then you think, well, actually, should he have done?
I saw Frank LaBeouf was talking about it the other day, and he said he was a little bit like, he didn't really see what the big deal was, because in France, it's so separate.
Yeah.
Like, personal life, footballing life, it's like a business. It's not, but here, it's just the media circus, the tabloid culture. If it wasn't for that, he'd be laughing.
Well, I think part of the reason might be, as we all know, or it's not the best kept secret at the moment, that there might be some more things coming out in couple of days.
Yeah.
We talk about footballers, there could be an endless stream of this kind of stuff coming out, couldn't there?
Yeah.
I think it's because he tried to get that injunction.
Yeah.
That's another good point. I mean, I'm not being funny. Everyone's laying into John Terry right now. He ain't the only footballer in the world to have done the bad thing. I'd say a lot of them have and just not been found out.
Yeah, but he was found out, and he's in a very privileged position that a lot of people would love to be in, being the captain of his country.
No, that is true.
How gutted is he, though? I mean, how gutted must he be? If England win the World Cup, I mean, it'll be great, he'll be pleased, but it's not going to be the same, is it, when he looks over and sees Rio Ferdinand lifting the trophy?
Do you think England will win the World Cup?
No, of course I don't, but...
Oh, come on!
Well, I'm a Northern Ireland fan, as you know, Sean. I'm a Northern Ireland fan.
I'm all about Honduras this year, so.
Really? Do you like to just go for the underdog?
Hmm?
Do you like to just pick an underdog and go for them?
Wilson Palacios, trust me.
Really?
Yeah.
Talking about Wilson Palacios, we must give a shout out to Derek.
Derek the cab driver, yeah.
If you're listening, Derek, thank you very much for your lift into the studio today.
A guy.
I apologise for our producer being slumped in the back seat of that cab. He's now slumped in the chair behind me. If only there was a webcam, guys, and you could see what was going on in this studio. If you do have a webcam, you must be listening online. Our website where you can listen online is www.onfmradio.com, or of course you can listen at 101.4 FM. Make sure you get in contact with us today. The email address is thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk, or you can get on our Facebook page and write on our wall. Make sure you stay with us, guys. We're here till 1.
101.4 on FM Sport.
Welcome back. This is Matt Dean, and you're listening to the On FM Football Show. Well, we must give a big shout out to O'Riordan's. Thank you very much, O'Riordan's, for a great night last night. It was a charity event in Brentford, O'Riordan's Pub.
It's
fantastic pub. If you're ever in Brentford, check it out. It was
just
a great night.
Just down by Kew Bridge, wasn't it, Ian?
Yeah, just down by Kew Bridge. And it was a lovely night. So thank you very much to them. It was a charity night in for the Milford House Hospice. If you were down there last night and you saw any of the On FM football guys, get in contact with us. It's thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk, or you can get on our Facebook page and just write on our wall. Right, let's get back to the football. We've done John Terry. John Terry, tick. Next big talking point. The transfer window closed on Monday. We were saying earlier, weren't we, Sean? A disappointing transfer window.
I was unhappy. There's no money spent, as far as I'm concerned. Could be a lot more going. Biggest transfer, $7 million, Adam Johnson, to Man City. But realistically, how many games is he going to have? How much is he going to play while he's there? You don't know. He'll just be a bit part, and that's the biggest move in the transfer window. I was reading, I think it was it Steve Bruce? Yeah, because they got Benjani late to Sunderland. He was saying that he thinks that the players are going to start complaining about the transfer window because it can affect their careers. Because Benjani had to wait till the last minute to make his move on loan. And if he had not done that, he wouldn't get first team football. Therefore, his career would be hurt. Therefore, he would earn less money as a footballer.
Mm.
So it's quite interesting to think that maybe the footballers will start to turn on the transfer window, because I know there's been some controversy about it in recent years.
Restriction of trade.
Well,
there?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's quite exciting. Well, it was quite exciting. I think now it's getting a bit boring. There's nothing really seems to happen. They've all sussed it out, haven't they, the transfer window?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Like, the fact at the moment is that there was something like 120 million spent in the first transfer window, and that went up and down as we went on. And then this transfer window was just 30 million spent. 30 million was a big, big drop.
That was about how much was in Wenger's back pocket, wasn't it?
Yeah, which he didn't spend any of.
No.
Of course, Arsenal fans like myself will know that didn't even dip into it once.
Do you think he needed to?
Of course he did.
I know you've kind of talked about it before, but even now, do you think? I mean,
even more now.
Well, people coming back from injury. I mean, Van Persie's not far away, is he?
Look, if anything, he needed a new goalkeeper. Brendan Horgan's just woken up, and we've mentioned Arsenal. Go on then, Brendan.
You did get your 30-plus-year-old. You know what you wanted was your 30-plus-year-old, your experienced Premier League, Champions League, international. Sol Campbell's back at the Emirates. You've got your experience in the Premier League, the Champions League.
Yeah. I'm sort of happy with that, but the goalkeeping situation is now top of my priorities.
You know what? Up until last weekend, I would have argued that with you, Matt, but I'm complete with you now. I've had enough. Just like many Arsenal fans, I have had enough. I've struggled to agree with you over Almunia. I've kind of given him the benefit of the doubt.
No.
No more. No more will I give Almunia the benefit of the doubt. I have to agree with you. Arsenal could have done with a new goalkeeper and transfer window, but I don't think we needed to spend big in the transfer.
When you think, though, that last year Shea Given went for about 6 or 7 million,
yeah,
I think he'd have gone to Arsenal over Man City.
Exactly, exactly, and it would have been money well spent.
It would have been points in the bag. It would have been points in the bag.
I think that was Man City's best signing since the money came in.
Well, yeah,
Shea Given easily. Such a good player.
Shea Given and Gareth Barry were their two best signings, probably, you know, quite cheap.
Gareth Barry now, yeah. When he first moved, he was a little bit kind of like, oh, you know, a lot of expectation.
Yeah.
But now, he's definitely showing up now.
Starting to play for them, starting to sort of own their midfield and boss
them. For sure.
Another big transfer in the transfer window, talking about Man City. We said Adam Johnson went to Manchester City from Middlesbrough.
Yes.
Rubinho went the other way. We sort of touched upon it last week. Sean, you weren't here last week.
No.
Less said about that, the better. But Rubinho to Santos, do you think we've seen the last of him?
Oh, in the Premiership or in general?
In the Premiership.
Yeah.
When he gets angry at... he's going to have to fly somewhere, so he might fly back to England this time, do the reverse.
Well, that's the thing. What can he do now? He's sort of exhausted his options. He's got Italy. He still hasn't done Italy. So he got annoyed in Spain, came to England, got annoyed in England, went back to Brazil.
Yeah, because he went straight from Santos to Real, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, Italy.
It's a backward step, though, isn't it, going back to Brazil? And all greatest of respect for Brazilian football.
I mean, a lot of players these days seem to want to do it. I mean, Tevez recently said that he wanted to retire and go back to his old Argentinian
retire
club and play.
When he's about 34, just like...
If anyone else here does know the answer, what we want is, we also want, I would like, the team he scored the goal against.
Oh, probably Arsenal, if Brendan knows it all.
No, it wasn't Arsenal.
Oh,
wasn't Arsenal.
Whatever. I stand corrected.
I don't know. Who scored the first ever goal in the Premier League?
Chris,
any ideas, Chris? Chris Ambrose, our Euro expert.
I instantly thought about Matt Le Tissier, but I don't know why.
I thought Shearer straight away, but that would be too obvious.
Shearer? Really?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, it was at what? It was at Southampton for a season before Blackburn for a couple of years before Newcastle, so... 97, 96, 95, 94. Mm.
Well, it doesn't have to be a good player, that's the thing.
That would be like his first season there, though. Nah.
But it could be anyone.
Nope. Wrong.
Got any other ideas? I can't think of it, mind you.
Les Ferdinand.
Right, Brendan, could you give us the team, please? he played for.
The team he played for was Sheffield United.
Oh.
Are you kidding?
Sheffield United.
That's the team he played for. I'll tell you what as well, the team he scored against was Manchester United.
So he scored for Sheffield United against Manchester United.
That's a really good question, though. Does that mean that Manchester United were the first team in the Premiership to concede a goal?
That means that Manchester United were the first team in the Premiership to concede a goal, yeah.
That's a better question. Get on to Andy and tell him.
Right, well, talking about Andy, he's ready for the answer. So Andy Stant, who was the first player ever to score in the Premier League?
The answer... Brian Deane.
My namesake, Dino.
Brian Deane.
My uncle,
who'd
Uncle Dino.
He
uncle,
did play uncle for Bri. Sheffield United. So.
Yeah, of course he did. Uncle Bri, first goal scorer in the Premier League. I didn't know that. Well, if you thought it was someone and you were obviously wrong like us, or even if you got the answer right, get on the internet, get on Facebook, type in On FM Football Show and write on our wall, tell us who you thought it was, and there's lots more Andy Stack coming up. As well as that, we've got... a new feature called My Worst Moment in Football. Stay tuned for that. That is going to be funny. Coming up in a minute, we've got Wag Watch with Rachel Wood. So make sure you stay tuned, guys. We'll be back in about three.
Brendan Horgan, Rob Mulhern, Rob Brennan, 101.4 on FM Sport.
Welcome back. It is just gone 10:30 in Hammersmith, and you're listening to the On FM Football Show. It's a little bit... It's a bit of a rubbish day today. It's a bit cold, isn't it? Well, it's not too cold, but it's a bit murky.
Yeah.
A nice day to be indoors, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Lovely day to be indoors. So if you're indoors...
Duvet day.
If you're indoors, under your duvet, you've got the laptop on, or maybe you're listening at 101.4 FM, then get in contact with us. It's The Football Show at onfmradio.co.uk. A member of our team who is definitely under her duvet at the moment, because she's ill, is Rachel Wood.
Oh.
Get well soon, Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel's not well, guys.
That's a shame.
Rob Brennan is one well either. He's had tonsillitis. So get well soon,
Rob. Brennan, another member of our team, tonsillitis. Get well, Rob. So, to all our team,
I've got a hangover. Get well soon, Brennan.
I've got a massive headache. Yeah, does that count?
I think we'll get on to you two later.
Who's on the aspirin run?
we've just been debating in the studio who's going to go and get some water. We all need water.
I think as a result, we're all sounding quite good because we've all got Barry White voices this morning. It's kind of a mix for better radio.
If you are tuning in for the first time, don't worry, we don't normally speak like this. Last night, there was a great charity event at O'Riordan's in Brentford, all in aid of the Milford House Hospice. We were all down there, On FM was supporting the event, and, there was lots of free carling going on.
Yeah.
I think every time I turned round, there was another pint in
just my hand. Just another pint. And it didn't mean you go, I'll put this half pint down. It just meant you necked it and then kept going.
Yeah.
You know what was really good about it? Just because it just kept on coming, I actually went up to the bar. Hopefully the guys at O'Riordan's aren't listening, but this is how great the guys at O'Riordan's are. I actually went up to the bar, got myself a couple of pints, just left them.
Just left them there.
just left them, no need to drink them. I thought they were available.
That's what we should have done on the way out. Just like, oh, by the way, mate, 32 pints, please.
To be honest, you didn't see the water bottles I brought with me. I tell you, they're not full of water anymore.
Oh, hello. We don't condone stealing.
We do not condone stealing here on FM.
Far from
and
it.
We certainly don't condone.
I hope the water he's gone for comes back as actual water.
Yeah,
and the way he's talking.
Yeah, never order pints in a pub and just walk away.
Never order pints in a pub with Brendan,
even if they're free. But don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, Brendan Horgan has now left the studio, so it's now safe to let your children listen again.
Take your hands from over their ears.
Yeah, we apologise for him this morning. Right, we were talking about her earlier. She's not here today, but she did manage to get out this week and do her usual wag watch. So let's see. Waitress has been talking to the lady this week. Let's see what she found out.
Okay, so who do you support?
For my sins, Liverpool.
For your sins?
For my sins. At the moment, definitely for my sins. Definitely, yeah, but Liverpool.
And why do you support Liverpool?
I go back to the 70s. During that time, everybody was kicking seven bells out of everybody else. And through all of that, Liverpool came through for me as a team. They actually played as a team and they excelled. And I just fell in love with one particular player who I was really impressed with, and that's Stevie Highway. Again, first footballer with a university degree. Didn't start his football till quite late in life. And I've really been nuts about him since the 70s. And I've followed him since then.
And do you ever get to go to Anfield?
I won the Pride of Britain Award in 2006. And it was delivered by Stephen Gerrard, my invitation. It takes a lot to shut my mouth, but trust me, on that day, I was totally surprised. My daughter knew, my granddaughter knew, I didn't know. The door knocked. I'd been taken to Liverpool to meet a lady who changed her estate like I did. And of course, the knock on the door and the film crew were all there. Okay, she's here. And in walked Stephen Gerrard. And I was totally gobsmacked. I handled myself extremely well until he left, and then I totally shook, cried like the biggest baby you've ever seen. I was so pleased. But then I went downstairs, we had coffee, we sat with them, and it was wonderful, really good. So we went to the Kop, and it was absolutely amazing, the atmosphere. And my daughter and my granddaughter, even though they are not supporters of Liverpool, said they couldn't get over the complete atmosphere there is at the Kop. It was wonderful. It was really, really a terrific day. Also, the same day, Phil Thompson was in the hotel. Well, that wasn't a fit-up. That was just one of those things. He happened to be there. And I asked him at the time why he was not manager of Liverpool Football Club, and his answer was, because I got fired, unfortunately. And that's my biggest problem with Liverpool. It takes a scouser to run a scouser. And if I go back to that time, I wouldn't wish a heart attack or ill health on anybody, but when Julio had his heart attack, Phil Thompson stepped up and they played their socks off for him. They played their socks off for Shankly. Julio, they didn't. Benitez, he doesn't understand how anybody can take 6 weeks when he first got there and Stephen Gerrard had to re-sign and wait 6 weeks to sign a man like that. To me, that is well questionable, and I really don't like the Liverpool manager. Never have, and I still don't. I don't like his substitutes. He's got rid of really, really good players that mean a lot to Liverpool. Crouch should never have gone anywhere.
Would you fear if Benitez left someone like Fernando Torres, although clearly he's got great loyalty to Liverpool, some of the Spanish contingent might leave as a result?
I've yet to see his heart playing for Liverpool. His heart's not on it. I don't think so. It's taken him all this time to actually put a smile on his face. When you see him play for Spain, it's a different player. You can see he really wants to play and he's passionate.
Well, that's really interesting because I felt Fernando Torres is one of those few players, got a few foreign players in terms of...
How long has he been here?
A few seasons.
And he's only just doing it. Watch him when he plays for his country. And have a look at the passion, have a look on his face. And that's what you get with a scouser. It takes a scouser to run a scouser. I would love Phil Thompson to take over. I don't think that's going to happen. The same as Benitez probably, for his own country, would absolutely be superb. But his heart's not in it. And he can't keep those players together. And you've got to have passion to do that. You've got to have belief. So, like I said, I've got a pound. I'll help him on his way. If the extra pound will help him ship off to Juventus, good night and goodbye. Please, somebody take him. And let's get the passion back into Liverpool because they play their arts out. They can do. But they've got no art at the moment, and they've got no one that can give them it. He doesn't know how.
Wow. She could talk, couldn't she?
That was involved.
Goodness,
I know too much about Liverpool now.
Wake up, everyone. She knew her stuff, to be fair to her. She knew her stuff.
There was Steven Gerrard, film crew. She had a pound.
In comparison to other wags or wag ladies she's had on the wag watch, she did know her stuff. So I'll always give credit to the ladies who do actually know their stuff.
The girl knew her stuff, but she could talk. I would not like to be stuck in a lift with her. Chris?
I think Gerrard should be the England captain.
Yeah, good point. Well, so Brendan and I were saying that yesterday. We think, why is it Ferdinand? Why has Ferdinand got it?
Because Terry's been dropped for controversy and causing problems and stuff. Rio Ferdinand.
Failed the drugs test.
Exactly. He's not exactly clean. I know Gerrard had an incident, but...
He never actually, just to clarify, he never actually failed the old drug test. He just didn't turn up to one.
Right, okay. Sorry if you're listening, Rio. Although I'm sure he's...
Because obviously he likes to defend his brother.
So Or Les. You know. The old West London Ferdinand family.
Same surname. Anyone with the surname Ferdinand.
Franz Ferdinand. Sorry. I think we should apologise to them.
Yeah, there was an old footballer who I think he played for Senegal called Ferdinand Colley. Ferdinand was his first name, though, so...
That would essentially be irrelevant.
And have you seen the film Babe?
Yeah.
I think the goose in that's called Ferdinand.
It is, yeah. Yeah, again, irrelevant. What were you saying?
Talking of geese. No.
And that famous Liverpool striker, Fernando Torres. Sorry, guys, we could do this all day. If you've got any,
it could be a slow morning. Bear with us.
If you've got any Ferdinand-related puns, email them in to thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk. Or a quicker way you can get in contact with us is just by writing on our Facebook page. So yeah, the lady knew her stuff about Liverpool. She did mention Benitez should be sacked. That is a major talking point at the moment. Chris, Benitez, should he stay or should he go?
I think they've got to stick with him. I mean, they had a run of bad results, but they picked up a bit lately. And to be honest, there's a few teams like that. I think stability is what they need at the club.
Okay. Sean Ealy, you are shaking your head.
He's wrong. He's just wrong. He just doesn't want Benitez to show up in his little European scene. That's all it is. Juventus apparently after him. Real Madrid apparently have asked him what he's up to, like, the rest of his career or something. I don't know. So people are interested. And I'm not being funny. I've spoken to some Liverpool fans, two of them. And both of them have said that when they saw the news that Juventus want Benitez, it was like a dream come true that someone would actually take him off their hands instead of them having to pay to get rid.
He's going nowhere until Real Madrid sweep him up.
Yeah, he's going nowhere until someone takes him because Liverpool cannot afford to pay him off.
Well, this is the thing. They're talking about spending like 25 million on Shamak, this, that and the other. Just spend the 20 mil, get rid of Benitez, get someone in and then go from there. Start afresh.
Brendan Horgan, Benitez, should he stay, should he go?
If I was a Liverpool fan, I'd actually want him to go, but they have this loyalty. He came that first season, won the Champions League, so to him he's a legend. No matter what he does, he won that Champions League, and the way he obviously they came back 3-0 down half.
I was watching that the other day. Strangely,
legendary. It is
so
legend.
Good, so good.
That sums it up. That's legendary.
Dudek with the old wobbly legs.
Just through that, Rafa Benitez is part of the Liverpool history books. He could do nothing from now on till the end he leaves the club, and they will still love him. Liverpool fans are loyal. Whether or not that's a good decision to be loyal to, it's up to them. They were loyal to Roy Evans, they were loyal to Gerard Houllier, whether that got them trophies or not. Should Benitez stay or should Benitez go? I actually probably reckon he should stay.
Fair point. Well, do you agree with me, Matt? Or?
I agree with you. I think he should go, but I don't think they should sack him because they can't afford to sack him.
No, they can't. I want them to, but they can't.
I think they should ring up Juventus and ring up Real Madrid and say,
Come on. Just whack him on eBay.
You can have him. You don't even have to compensate.
Yeah, come on. No, but back to what Brendan was saying, like, it's a good point, actually, about Benitez coming in and winning the Champions League, because I think that was... because that was the year that Gerrard was talking about going to Chelsea.
Yeah.
And if they didn't win that Champions League, he probably would have gone.
If Liverpool hadn't have won the Champions League that year, I think Rafa Benitez would have gone 2 years ago. I think he would have been sacked 2 years ago. Mm. But that, just by doing that, he, as I said, he's become a legend amongst the fans.
No, you're dead right.
Once
you've got
the fans' loyalty, you kind of, it's an uphill battle.
You're laughing.
Yeah. It's a battle for any board to sack a manager, basically.
Yeah.
And we've had an email. We've had an email from Steve, who's a Liverpool fan. Steve from Putney.
What's Steve saying?
He's from Putney, but he's a Liverpool fan.
Oh, that happens.
Yeah.
My mate's a Liverpool fan. He lives in Teddington.
Really?
Yeah, don't worry
about it. They're everywhere, these Liverpool fans.
Yeah.
Well, Steve has said, should Benitez go? No. Have faith. He will bring the Premier League home within 5 years. Do you think Steve's right?
No. I think Steve's a little bit bewildered.
Have faith.
I'm not sure if five years is quick enough.
5 years.
I think that's the issue.
Optimistic.
I don't think it'll ever. I don't think it'll ever happen for Liverpool in recent years. Coming now, it's leaning.
If
Man U,
coming
Chelsea.
Now.
Yeah, it makes sense. Come on,
does it?
Put the words together.
That sounds like manager talk.
Yeah, recent years coming. I don't even remember what I said, but yeah, with the Man U and the Chelsea stepping up, I think Arsenal. All right, you know, we all know you're a fan. But yeah, I think they've got a good stead, depending how things go. But personally, I'm of the opinion that the Big Four should no longer be called the Big Four. It's just not that sect anymore. But do you remember back in the day when it was just Man U? They were the main boys. Then Chelsea, the Big Two. Then Arsenal, Liverpool. But now there's like five or six up there.
I'll stop you there, Sean, because we've just had another email.
Oh, God.
The emails, we are hot on emails today. If you'd like to get in contact with us, don't forget, it's thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk. Without stuttering, that's thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk. Or you can write on our wall on our Facebook page. We've had an email from Jeff, and he says, boys, discuss this. Who will be the top four in the Premier League this season? What will the top four be?
Man City's in
Jeff
there.
Jeff hasn't stated which order he wants it. He's just said, can we name the four top teams?
Man U, Chelsea, Arsenal, City.
Man U,
probably
Chelsea,
in that
Arsenal,
order.
Arsenal, City. Chris?
Manchester City, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I'd go along with that. I think Manchester City are going to be there. I think Tottenham will be roundabout, but I don't think they'll quite cut the top four.
Yeah.
I think the top four will be exactly the same as it has been for the last how many years. I think it'll be Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool and Manchester United.
Liverpool, really?
I think Liverpool will make
Man City are laughing, though. Haven't they got two games in hand?
They do have two games in hand. Spurs are doing just as well as Man City.
Spurs will peter.
But I have a funny feeling Man City will peter as well.
Really?
I think Liverpool will have a run coming towards the end of the season.
I can't
see
it.
It'll be like, you know, a few years ago, the last season Arsenal had at Highbury, where they got fourth in the last day of the season.
Yeah.
I think it will be.
Didn't they just pip Spurs?
Spurs, the last day by beating Wigan. I think it will be like that this year. I think Liverpool will push it to the very end, but I think Liverpool will just make that fourth spot towards the end of the season.
I think, like common in previous years, I think it'll be more exciting to see who gets the kind of fourth spot for the Champions League. More than who wins the league, it'll probably be settled in a couple of months or a couple of weeks' time, sorry. But Liverpool in the top four, I'm not sure about. I think Man City will not peter at all. I think if they still had Mark Hughes, they might disappear. But with Mancini coming in, he's only like just been there a little while. He still needs to cement something. And I think a top four finish will be exactly what he does.
Well, there you go, Jeff. I hope that answers your question. As you heard, Jeff's email was read out. Steve's email was read out. If you've got an email, make sure just send us an email. It's thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk. We will read these emails out, whatever you have to say, as long as it's clean, obviously. And if you've got a song request, you can send us that. It's thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk. Coming up, we've got live music and much more. Stay tuned.
Oh, she can't wait for what I can give. She
On FM Sport. Welcome back, this is Matt Dean and you are listening to the On FM Football Show. And I'm sorry if I've sounded a little bit quiet today. We've had a couple of emails saying that I sound a little bit quiet. I think that's just the microphone playing up, so I apologise for any sound problems that there might be today, but hopefully you can hear me loud and clear, or a little bit better at least now. Right, while that song was playing, we were having a little chat in the studio, Chris and I, and Sean's popped out, obviously still recovering from last night at O'Riordan's in Brentford. Thanks to everyone that was there. On FM supported the event at O'Riordan's in Brentford. It was a fantastic night, all in aid of the Limerick Hospice in the Milford Hospice in County Limerick. It was a fantastic night, wasn't it, Chris?
It was very enjoyable. Yeah, good music, good atmosphere, good people.
Great night, great, great night. Right, we were talking about the 3D football. Yes, did you watch it last week? Did you see any 3D football?
I didn't know. I didn't catch the game.
Did you hear about it?
I did. It got a fair bit of publicity. I think it's... I'm surprised sports, where it's gone to, though, 3D. I don't really see the need, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't see the... I don't see why you'd want to watch football in 3D. Or I was saying, like I was saying on the show last week, to watch football in 3D, you just go to a game, surely. That's 3D football.
Only recently have I seen the old 3D malarkey, and I saw the Avatar movie. First time I've ever seen 3D, and I was blown away. But my first reaction was, why would you want to go and watch football in 3D, especially in a pub? Why would you, you know...
It's just you're sitting there with your pint, you're wearing glasses, special 3D giant glasses, you all look like Joe 90. It's a bit strange, isn't it?
Not only that, but you'd expect, if the 3D's as good as they go on about you, there'd be moments in the match where you'd be spilling your pint because you'd be worried the ball was going to hit you.
That's true. Yeah, they didn't think about that, did they?
It's just a waste of good beer.
You mentioned there that you saw the Avatar movie. Did you enjoy it?
Absolutely brilliant.
Unbelievable film, isn't
actually,
it?
Actually, the movie wasn't great. I've just never seen the old 3D
stuff. Oh, see, I didn't see it in 3D, but yeah. I still thought it was amazing.
Go and see it in 3D, because that was the main thing that blew me away, was the whole 3D. As I said, I've never seen it before. It was like a kid. I really was like a child.
Yeah, a lot of people enjoying Avatar, and a lot of people going to see it more than once. And I think that's pretty the mark of a really good film. I remember people saying when Titanic was out, same director, isn't it? Is it James Cameron? Is that his
Cameron,
name?
Yeah.
He's the director, and he directed Titanic. I remember at school, all the girls at school when I was in secondary school would come in and go, I went to see Titanic again last night. Well, how many times have you seen it? I've seen it 9 times now. There was sort of, Brendan Horgan.
Phone's off in your auditorium.
I must apologise, but don't worry, it's good news. Dave Brench's Brenches is downstairs. He's going to come in, our championship expert.
Brenches has arrived, so we'll have Brenches talking about League One and Two. That's coming up. We've got Sean talking about the championship. That's coming up. And we've got fantastic live music from Johnny Menar. We had him on the show about 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, and he played a live track for us. He's come back to plug his album, The Hourglass, and he's going to be performing live in about 3 minutes. Make sure you stay
London
with us.
London is on FM. Rob Brennan. 101.4 on FM Sport.
Welcome back. This is Matt Dean, and you are listening to the On FM Football Show, where we have been joined once again. Johnny, when were you in last time? Was it
2nd of January?
2nd of January. So, yeah. Just over a month ago.
Mm.
God, it's gone quick, isn't it?
It has, mate. Yeah.
I keep boring the guys every week. I keep saying I can't believe it's every week. I say a different. I can't believe it. I said I can't believe it's January. Then I can't believe it's nearly February. Now we're already in February. It's mental. The year's a month old already.
But
I'll stop rambling. You've come all the way from Swansea today, have you?
I have, yeah.
How was it? On the train?
Yeah, on the train today, yeah.
How was the journey?
All right, yeah, we got upgraded to first class as well, so that wasn't too bad.
How'd you manage that?
Well, that's who you know, innit?
Huh?
It's who you know.
It's who you know, yeah. Someone pulled a few strings.
It went, yeah. A bit more than that, but still.
So, we've got you in to plug your album. I've got it in my hand. Johnny Menar, The Hourglass.
Mm.
How long does it take you to make the album?
Well, the album was probably already written, and I started recording it last year from bits and pieces at home, and then I got a couple of session guys involved in it as well, I basically mixed it together myself, and then released it in September. So the actual recording of the album took around 8 months, 9 months, something like that.
So quite a long time,
yeah,
to get it all together.
But the sort of a lot of those tracks were written maybe 2 or 3 years prior to that, so it just takes a while to sort of stick it all together, you know.
Yeah, so the music was written, but it's just getting all the other things,
yeah,
and pieces in place.
I mean, there are a few different ideas playing around my head, and then obviously I sit down with the song and then change it slightly and that, but I think it's come out all right.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right.
I'll never say anything's too good, because there'll all be somebody who argues with me. So,
well, you can leave us to do that. We think it's fantastic here.
Thanks very
fantastic
much.
Fantastic album. You've got how many tracks are on the album?
Well, there's 8 on that album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Hourglass. Where can you get hold of it?
Well, it's on my website at the moment. The you can either download it from downloadmymusic.co.uk, but then you can still go to that website, and then you can buy the physical CD as well, which will be posted out next working day.
Signed?
It will be signed if requested, but there's an extra £50 charge on that.
£50?
Mm.
God,
yeah.
I wouldn't bother.
No, to be honest.
So yeah, you can get on down. Downloadmymusic.co.uk.
Or to
buy it, where can you
get it? To buy it, you can go to the same website.
Yeah.
You can also go to my MySpace page, and there's links to my other sites off there.
If I was to go on Google and type in Johnny Minar, could I find you?
Oh, you'll find some horrendous articles about me.
Really?
You may find a few musical ones as well, but...
Some pictures of you running around Swansea naked, I'm sure.
You know the score.
Just for those of you, some of our listeners, I'm going to have to spell your name. Johnny, J-O-N-N-Y, Minar, M-E-R-N-A-G-H. That's M-E-R-N-A-G-H. Make sure you spell it right when you type it into Google. Get on his MySpace, listen to some of his tracks. And you're going to be performing live for us, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
Are you going to do a track from the album?
I will do a track from the album.
What track are you going to do?
It's called Prayed for an Angel.
What is it? What's the track about? Or is that a personal question?
No, it's not really a personal question. I could just lie, couldn't I?
Go on. Let's do both answers and we'll decide which one we like.
Well,
we can guess which one's the lie.
Well, we have a competition, should we?
Yeah.
Well, it's actually about a... Well, it's not a really happy song, but it's about a person committing suicide. Or trying to.
Definitely a happy song, then.
Yeah, and... obviously, the suicide plan didn't go to plan, and they're still alive. Obviously, it wasn't their time to be taken away, so, I mean, it was that type of concept.
Fantastic, and it's on your album, so if you like this track, you can... We'll run through everywhere, every place again for people where they can get hold of the album.
Mm.
And if I want to see you live, where can people go see you live? When's your next gig?
Well, if you fancy taking a train down to Swansea, which are quite cheap at the moment, you can do that. But around the London area, I'm back up in April, so I'm looking to play some of the open mics around the area, Camden, places like Monkey Chews and all those sort of bars. You can cast me around those areas, but again, check my website and there'll be more details on there.
That's the point. Do you update your website? So if you've got dates coming up, you'll let people know.
Yeah, it'll all be on the website. Any new releases or anything. In actual fact, I'm doing a charity song for the Haiti Appeal.
Yeah.
That's going to be that should be on the website within a fortnight, I would say. And obviously, all proceeds then of downloads and sales go to the appeal.
Fantastic. Well, as I said earlier, we've had you in before playing live, and we obviously invited you back because we enjoyed it so much. So you're going to perform a track for us now, and if you like this, make sure you get hold of Johnny Minar's album. I'd say just go on Google, type in Johnny Minar, that's J-O-N-N-Y, that's Johnny, M-E-R-N-A-G-H. So I have to spell it for people, Johnny, I'm afraid.
Good man.
You just don't know some of these people listening, mate. Right?
I've had people spell it wrong as well, mate, and call me Meringue and all sorts of things, so, you know.
No, we do our research on this show, mate. As you can see,
you're the man.
Professional to the end. Right, Johnny Minar, you're going to perform live. Make sure you turn your radio up nice and loud and enjoy this. This is Johnny Minar from his new album, The Hourglass. Johnny, take it away.
And I long for an answer to why my heart. I'm
Yeah. Sorry, we sound a bit light with our clapping in the studio. It's not because it was bad. I think last time there was about 7 or 8 people in.
Yeah.
We got a massive round of applause. But today there's just the two of us because the other two have popped out of the studio. Oh, here they come right now. You've just missed Johnny.
Oh.
Well done, mate.
Playing again, Sam.
That was Johnny Minnart with his track Prayed for an Angel. Johnny, that was absolutely fantastic. And another question I wanted to ask you, a question that I was thinking of actually while you were playing,
yeah,
was who's your sort of role models in music? Who got you into music?
Well, what got me into music was Oasis, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And then I kind of sort of traced the roots back, you know, through the Beatles and Chuck Berry, Little Richard and those sort of guys. Because, I mean, I know I'm playing acoustic songs here, but I'm also into a bit of rock and roll as well, you know, which are also type of tracks on my album.
Yeah. When you do gigs, do you just play, is it just acoustic, you and a guitar, or do you do gigs with a band?
It's just me, acoustic guitar, a harmonica.
Fantastic.
Sometimes a keyboard when required.
Do you play them all?
Yeah, and bass.
Multi-talented.
Bit of percussion and... Well, most of the instruments on the album are done by myself anyway, so... yeah, if I could play all the instruments at once, then I could be a band, but...
Well, you should be one of those guys, you know, that's got, like, a drum on their back.
Yeah.
And as you walk, the cymbals go off. That would be brilliant. Can you imagine getting him in the studio doing that? We wouldn't be able to sneak him in quietly while the check was on. Don't, here he comes. Johnny, who do you like at the moment? Who's your favourite, like, what's in the charts that you're listening to at the moment?
Well, my opinion of the charts, I think, is rubbish. I think there's too many drum machines going around. I just think the general... hip-hop sort of thing, it's not for me.
For you.
I mean, there are good bands about, I suppose, Kings of Leon and those sort of guys. You've obviously got people like U2 and those sort of bands still appearing in the charts, but the general pop songs, not my cup of tea, and, you know, a number one these days is a number one for a week, and then it's forgotten about. You won't be hearing those songs in 15 years' time.
True. Did you watch the Grammys?
No, I didn't.
You would have been disappointed.
Yeah.
There was a lot of the ones that you just said you didn't like.
Really?
A lot of them won. The likes of the Black Eyed Peas.
The Black Eyed what?
Black Eyed Peas.
See what I mean?
David doesn't even know the Black Eyed Peas. I was going to make a Wales-related joke then, but I very much steered clear of it. Right, if you want Johnny's stuff, that was a track called Prayed for an Angel, and it was from his album, The Hourglass. Johnny Minnart, I shall spell it for our listeners again, because some of them, you know.
Oh, God.
Do you want to say?
Unbelievable.
Johnny, Jonny Mernagh, is Minnart. Mernagh. So when you're on Google, you have no excuse for typing that in wrong, because I've told you about four times. If you still don't know, then email us. It's thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk, and we'll read it out once more. We'll read it out again before the end of the show.
Just for some people.
So you're back on the train now to Wales?
Back on the train, yeah. Get back to watch the egg chasing.
It starts today, doesn't it, Six Nations?
Yeah, it's not really long street ball for my taste. I'm more of a football fan myself.
And you're a Swansea fan, aren't you?
Yeah, big time.
Doing all right?
Yeah, doing all right. Preston today is a 1 o'clock kickoff, so most probably get that on the iPhone on the way back.
Oh, well, is this your girlfriend with you?
Yeah, well, I brought the iPhone that comes with the girlfriend.
She loves the sound of that. You watching the football on the iPhone all the way back. First class or no first class, Johnny? That's not happening. The thing is, we all know, for all of us who've got girlfriends, I've got a girlfriend myself, we know he'll get out of here, and he's not going to touch the iPhone, is he? Sorry, darling. Of course I'm not going to watch it, darling.
I think we'd end up in River Island or somewhere buying handbags. You
know? Mate, it happens to all of us, though. I've been there many times. I don't know when the last time I sat and just listened to the football on the radio, watched Soccer Saturday was. Going out, buying handbags.
Yeah. Can't beat that.
Not like the good old days.
It's not.
When I was
we
sick.
Used to steal them.
What? We don't condone stealing here on the Oliver Football Show.
Again.
They're the views of Johnny Minnart, Jonny Mernagh.
Yeah.
That's Johnny Minnart. Get his album. Johnny, once again, thank you very much for coming in.
No worries, mate. Thanks very much.
Fantastic performance. Get Johnny Minnart's album. It's The Hourglass. Type his name in on Google and you'll find his album. You can download his music. Get on his MySpace. You heard Prayed for an Angel, and there's many more tracks like that. You have to check this guy out. Johnny, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, mate.
Have a safe journey back.
Cheers, pal.
FM Sport.
Welcome back. You're listening to the On FM Football Show. This is Matt Dean. We just had Johnny Minnart playing in live in the studio. He was fantastic, wasn't he, guys?
Yeah, no. I didn't actually listen.
You missed it. Chris, we were
I
here.
I could tell.
Chris, was he good or was he good?
He was very good.
He was very good. And he had his girlfriend with him, so
thanks very much for coming down. Poor her, she's been she's had a long journey, hasn't she? A long journey. Both of them have. Like, no,
I assume they've come the same distance.
No, well, yeah, that's true. Stupid thing to say.
Great.
Oh, there's always one. There's always one. No, because I was just thinking, my girlfriend would never do that. Get on a train all the way from Swansea to come and sit in a studio.
She might be a big football fan as well.
That's true. We didn't ask her who she supported.
Yeah, come on.
That was Johnny Minar, and you can get his album, The Hourglass. Just type in Johnny Minar. I'll give you the spelling again later in Google, and you'll get all his stuff. Right, guys, let's talk Premier League fixtures. David Brenchley, you have come into the studio finally after last night. You were not going to believe the state this guy was in last night. How are you feeling?
Cheers for that. Yeah, not too bad.
He wasn't really.
He was off his rocker.
He wasn't. You
yeah.
were.
Huh?
You were.
Don't know what you mean.
For anyone that's just tuned in, we had a chat. Chris has just the action of something that Sean did last night. Fantastic.
Hey.
Fantastic. For anyone that's just tuning in, we had the charity event last night at O'Riordan's Pub in Brentford. Stop laughing. We had a charity event on O'Riordan's Pub in Brentford. It was a fantastic night. So anyone that missed it, it was for the Milford House Hospice in County Limerick. It was a great night. I'm sure there's still time to give to the charity if you wish. Just get in touch with OnFM and I'm sure you can get details through us. So our email address is thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk. I'm sorry I'm giggling, but there's just so much going on in the studio today. Because Brendan Horgan, who's as you know, he's our producer, Brendan Hulk Horgan, he's just seems to be just walking around the studio with nothing to do. He's certainly not producing the show. That's a fact. Let me just run through the Premier League games today. Today we have Bolton at the Reebok against our local side Fulham. Burnley are playing West Ham. Burnley away for you today. Hull are entertaining Manchester City. The big Merseyside derby kicks off at 12:45. We will have team news. That is Liverpool versus Everton, of course. Manchester United playing Portsmouth today. Don't fancy your chances too much there, Pompey. Stoke at home against Blackburn. Sunderland at the Stadium of Light will take on Steve Bruce's old side Wigan. Harry Redknapp's Tottenham doing fantastically well. A bit of a fourth place playoff, if you like, between Tottenham and Aston Villa. That's the 5:30 kickoff. And tomorrow in the Premier League, of course, we've got Chelsea versus Arsenal and Birmingham versus Wolves. I think on Sky they're building it as Derby weekend because you've got Liverpool versus Everton today, Arsenal versus Chelsea tomorrow, and Birmingham Wolves also tomorrow. Let's talk Arsenal. Let's talk Chelsea-Arsenal. Matt Brenchers, you're the only one that looks like you want to talk, looking at these two corpses in front of me. Let's talk Chelsea-Arsenal. Which way do you see it going, first of all?
I think it's going to be close. Although I did say that, I think, about the Man U Arsenal game, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
And that wasn't close.
Wasn't close, was it? It was embarrassing.
But, yeah, it was. But I don't know, Arsenal could come back. But I think Chelsea are strong this season so far.
Yeah.
And again, home advantage. Probably see them home, I think.
Yeah, as an Arsenal fan, I'm not holding out much hope for tomorrow. I think any Arsenal fan that is hopeful is just really needs to get used to the fact that you get let down a lot at the moment being an Arsenal fan.
I also think that John Terry, a lot's happened with John Terry, and I think he'll come out and put a really, really good performance in, captain's performance in.
Well, he's going to have a tough time, obviously, up against Nicholas Bentner. Tumbleweed in the studio, Nicholas Bentner. Yeah, he looks like he's probably going to start for Arsenal. That's the latest team news, with Arshavin and maybe Rizitsky or Nasri playing the other side. The good news for Arsenal is Diaby's going to be back tomorrow. And I think, Brendan, you're a fellow Arsenal fan, what do you think about this comment I'm about to make? Diaby is Arsenal's most important player. There it is, I've said it.
He's definitely one of the most...
And Vermaelen. Vermaelen, Gallas and Diaby, I'd say, most important players.
I think anyone who watched that Man United game, who's seen Arsenal during the season, they missed Diaby so much. And last season, even the last few seasons, it wouldn't be one of those players that just jumped out. You said, God, Arsenal really missed Diaby, but they missed him on Saturday. They're not the same without him. He's been inconsistent over recent years, but this season he seems to have made his mark. He seems to be one of the most important players for Arsenal. He's creative. He's strong on the ball. I'm not as... You weren't pessimistic about it, but I'm quite optimistic about tomorrow's game. I think even... Forget last weekend's result, 3-0 to Manchester United. Arsenal beat Chelsea tomorrow, and that's season back on.
Yeah, true. Season back on if Arsenal managed to get a result. But Are they going to get the result, Brendan? How confident are you that they'll get a result?
Not overly confident, but they beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge last year. Obviously, they had Robin Van Persie at the time. He's not there this season. As you said, it looks like Nicholas Bentner may start. Not overly confident, but it's do or die. It's crunch time for Arsenal. Cesc Fabregas has said this week that if Arsenal lose to Chelsea, he thinks that's season over. I tend to agree with him as regards to winning the league goes. But then there's... I'm one of these Arsenal fans that the last how many years we've finished fourth? If we finished third this year, it's an improvement. We haven't spent any money, unlike even the teams who are going into administration have spent more money than Arsenal this year. So, you know, third would be an improvement. Obviously, I want Arsenal to win trophies as an Arsenal fan. But, you know... It's not too bad. It's not as bad as it looks. Third's an improvement. There you go.
Thank you. Brendan, I think you probably talked for about 5 minutes, which is the most you've talked for the whole day.
It's probably after... I'm
the
done.
Last you've
I'm
talked
done.
For the whole day.
I'm going to have to sleep now.
Come on, give me a score prediction for tomorrow before you start sleeping.
Right, I'm going to go same as last season. I have to go for Arsenal. I wouldn't put money on it, but I'm going to go Arsenal to win 2-1.
Just like last season's result.
Just like last season, yeah.
Just like last season. Very quickly, Brinches, Liverpool, Everton, 12:45.
Massive game, isn't it? Another massive game. I think Liverpool are there for the taking for Everton. Probably for the first
at Anfield,
time in a long
though.
Time. Yeah, but they're not in good form. Everton are actually in really good form. They're kind of climbing up the table. So I think that it's definitely winnable for them.
It's winnable, but Liverpool starting to... Do you think they're starting to look a little bit stronger now?
Yeah, but I think Everton are as well. I don't think Liverpool are looking that much stronger.
No, it's weird with Liverpool, isn't it? They sort of... They'll get a result, but normally when Liverpool, like a team like Liverpool, will get a result, then they'll go on a run, but they just don't seem to be able to do it, do they?
No, absolutely.
Well, before you got in, Brinches, we all went for who we think's going to be in the top four. Do you think Liverpool are going to make it?
I've been saying from day one that they will. So I think I'll stick with this. It's looking less and less likely.
Stick to your gun, Brinches. Stick to your guns. Coming up, we're going to be talking more to Brinches. He's going to be doing his League 1 and League 2 roundup with all the fixtures. Sean Keneally is going to get himself out of the state that he's in at the moment. He's going to be talking about the Championship. Chris has got his Euro report coming up. We've got more Andy Stat. We've got loads coming up for you today, guys. We've got a new feature called My Worst Moment in Football. J to the P is going to be doing his rap. We're going to have a little game in the studio, a 90s player challenge just between us, as Rob isn't in today. So make sure you stay tuned, guys. There's loads more coming up.
This is London. London. 101.4 on FM. 101.4 on FM Sport.
Welcome back. This is Matt Dean and you're listening to the On FM Football Show. It's all going off today here in the studio. It's if you were there last night at the O'Riordan's pub in Brentford, you will know why. It was a fantastic night. It was all in aid of the Milford House Hospice in County Limerick, and he's just come in and slammed the door. You may know there's a theme of this show where Brendan Horgan, our producer, seems to just be wandering around the whole time.
It's because as a producer role, I've got to do everything. I'm busy. I'm trying to make sure the show runs smoothly, and someone's got to look after you guys and make sure you do a good job.
Well, all you're doing is making noise, banging things, putting in the odd ridiculous comment.
I am a little bit out of water, so I don't know.
Yeah, go and get some water.
I think I've had Brendan look after me enough this weekend.
Do you know what I think that signals, him doing that? I think that signals... I'm so sorry, everybody. I think that signals time for Andy Stat.
So, here's another one for you. I was wondering, can a goalkeeper take a throw-in?
Can a goalkeeper take a throw-in? Yeah, why not? Of course he can. Ridiculous question. Of course he can. I've seen it happen. When a team's like chasing a game, he runs out. I've done it.
Yeah, definitely.
I play in goal, by the way. That was
I've taken a throw.
I've done it. I go out in the park all the time.
You're not like a professional goalkeeper.
What?
Swiftly moving on. Did you see that the guy who has the longest throw? Talking of throw-ins.
What, Rory did that?
No.
Is his name Tig?
He does a flip.
Because there's a guy... can I just say why? There's a guy from my uni who had an unbelievable throw. He played for, like, the fourth team at my uni. St Mary's. By the way, St Mary's in Twickenham. Anyone listening from St Mary's in Twickenham, shout you out. Love Love the St Mary's Massive, amazing university. If you're doing a teaching-based degree, make sure you go there, amazing uni. Anyway, there was a guy who played for the fourth team called Tig, and he just had this throw, and he'd literally take a throw from anywhere, and it would just be like a bullet, just a bullet. We played against him once, and I had a great tactic because I played in goal. And I thought, this is going to be an absolute nightmare. Like, because how do you cope with it? You've basically got to say to your defenders before the game. This is why I was annoyed at Arsenal Stoke the other day. Fabianski, first minute. I mean, they knew what was going to happen. Oh, ramble. Yeah, I was just so annoyed because Fabianski didn't even come out for the cross. He didn't stay on his line. Didn't do anything. Anyway, I thought to myself, right, I'll come out for every single cross, every single long throw. Apart from one, which it was bullet coming right to me. I thought, if I go for it and miss it, I could fumble it in my goal. So what I did was left it and let it go straight into the goal. Didn't count, though, because he'd thrown it straight in.
Can't score straight for
Chris,
throwing.
I'm so sorry. I just rambled for about 2 minutes there, and you had a story. The guy with the longest throw.
Yeah, he does a flip, and it's a legal throw. He lands on the ball, flips around, and throws it, and he can throw it over 50 metres.
Madness.
Steve Howie did that for Newcastle.
The funny thing
you
about...
You do like a roly-poly with the ball in your hands, rest on it with your head, kind of go over, and then pow. It's like a catapult. Awesome.
The funny thing about this conversation is I have no idea why we're talking about throw-ins.
Can goalkeepers take a throw-in?
Yes.
Come on.
Well, of course he can. Why he'd want to, only he'd be able to tell you that.
Andy Statt, you legend. Andy Statt, if you first time you're listening, Andy Statt basically just sits at home, watches football, listens to football. He eats football-shaped food. Literally, he can't eat anything unless it's something football-related. That's the truth.
He drinks out of a mug in the shape of a football.
Yeah, or his other mug, which says, I love football.
He has his bed cover, single bed, duvet covers, football duvet cover.
Yeah, and he's got a John Terry poster on his wall, but I'm not sure if he's taking that down now.
I think he might have turned it around the other way.
Yeah.
In a kind of...
Who's
kind
on the
of,
back?
In a kind of temporary measure.
Who's on the back?
Wayne Bridge.
Moving on, Brenches, you finally joined us. Thank you very much for joining us, Brenches. Let's talk League One. Let's talk League Two. Let's do League One first.
League One first, absolutely. We'll give you a rundown of the fixtures. First off, you have local side Brentford are at home to Gillingham, so not too far to travel for Gillingham. Colchester against Southend is on Monday night now, and it's on Sky Sports 1, I believe. Exeter face Southampton at home. Leeds United travel to Hartlepool. Huddersfield Town are at home to Carlisle. Leighton Orient, London side Leighton Orient, are at home to Brighton. Millwall play top of the league Norwich. Stockport are at home to MK Dons. Charlton travel to Swindon. Tranmere are at home to Oldham. Walsall to Bristol Rovers. And Wickham play Yeovil. Now,
pick of the games, Brenches.
Big game of the weekend, I would say. I think Charlton-Swindon, or Swindon-Charlton, is a big game. Big playoff.
You went to Charlton last week, didn't you?
I went twice last week, in fact.
Enjoy?
No. They weren't the best games, I must admit.
What were the scores on the doors?
Charlton, first game, they lost to Orient 1-0.
Go on, Orient.
Which is not good. I mean, Orient were down the bottom. They're kind of making a bit of a surge because they won midweek as well. But the next game was Tranmere, drew 1-1, which isn't, again, Tranmere are battling relegation, so they want to be winning these games, and it doesn't look too good for Charlton.
And how are they going to get on today, then? Brenchamondo?
It's going to be tough. They've made a couple of good signings. I was impressed with Kyle Reid, who's come in and give him a bit of whip down the left. Apko Soje's come back on loan until the end of the season, so they'll make a difference.
Oh, no, it's not Charlton, is it? I was going to say, I can't believe you haven't mentioned your favourite player, but I realise he's at loan on Brentford. Go on, say it.
Yep. I'll stick to Charlton, shall I?
No, go on, just say the player.
Chesney.
No, the whole name.
No.
Brenches,
is that the Polish
goalkeeper? Yeah, Wojciech Szczęsny.
Apparently.
But I love hearing Brenches say it.
Say it. Say it.
Wojciech Szczęsny.
Yeah, there it is.
And I was actually listening to one of our old shows on our podcasts. If you'd like to check out those podcasts, it's www.onfmradio.com, and there's a link on that page to podcasts, and you can listen to all our old shows. The Christmas special is up there, and it's a very, very funny show. I was listening to it the other day, just thinking, wow, you're good.
About yourself?
No, about Brendan.
Really?
Yeah.
It wasn't, was it?
Well, so make sure you listen. Get on the website, check out our podcast page, or you can go to our Facebook page. and you can get the podcasts from there. Any more games in League One taking your fancy?
There are a few. Millwall, Norwich, that's a big game.
Norwich are doing amazingly, aren't they?
They're doing absolutely brilliant. Paul Lambert's come in and done a superb job.
I'd like to ask you, you're an expert. I'm not really an expert in League One. Are they going to win the league? Or are Leeds going to...
No,
who's going to win it?
It looks like they're going to win it. They're like I say, Lambert's done a brilliant job. They're on a great run of form. Leeds struggling a little bit. They're going to probably find it tough away to Hartlepool today, so could lose a little bit more ground. I can't see anyone outside them challenging. I think at the start of the season, you were looking at Leeds and Charlton, who were pretty much dead on for promotion. But now Norwich have come through, and I think that they're going
to
win it.
Have they come out of nowhere, or were they expected to be there or thereabouts?
They're expected. I mean, they were a championship last season, come down. First game of the season, shocking, like 7-1 loss at home to Colchester.
And they nicked their manager.
They did, yeah. They nicked their manager, and that's been a brilliant decision. They've kind of come out of nowhere because they were struggling at the start, but you'd have expected them to be pushing all through the season, really.
Brenchers, thank you very much. We will get to League Two later. I think it's time for a little music interlude. Right. As you know, we do a topical track every week. I pick a track that relates somehow to the week of football. So, this week, you know, I was sitting at home. I was reading all the alleged stories, I must say alleged, in the newspaper about John Terry and Wayne Bridges' girlfriend. And I just thought, the thing I really wanted to know was, who did she prefer? You know, did she prefer John Terry or... did she prefer to be under the bridge?
Who did you prefer?
This is Under the Bridge by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
101.4 on FM Sport.
Welcome back. You're listening to the On FM Football Show, where I've just been playing my air guitar to our Brinches. I don't think he was even looking. I've also been doing, does anyone remember, X-Puck from X-Puck from WWF?
Yeah.
We did that thing and he's like,
what's that? Oh,
he said
again.
Something. Oh, it doesn't make great radio.
Oh, yeah.
But everyone who knows me knows that I like to do that sometimes. Especially, sorry, Mum. It's like, yeah. Run around the house and do it to her loads.
I think we should apologise to listeners putting that sound together with just saying it's just what you like to do a lot. It's not...
What? Ooh.
Yeah, just say he's... At this point, he's just opened a book and learnt an interesting fact about football.
What?
Just Google it.
Google what?
The X-Puck thing.
Yeah. Google X-Puck. YouTube it. YouTube X-Puck WWF. Brinches. League 2. Fixtures League 2.
Start with fixtures in League 2. You've got Accrington Stanley at home to Morecambe. Aldershot travel to Barnet. Bournemouth are at home to Cheltenham. Bradford against Bury. Burton Albion host Port Vale. Lincoln City travel to Chesterfield. Dagenham and Redbridge are at home to inform Northampton. Bottom side, Darlington face Rotherham. Grimsby are at home to Notts County. Hereford have Torquay. Macclesfield at home to Shrewsbury. And Rochdale play Crewe.
And what's your pick of the game, Brench to the Lee?
Pick of the game? I've gone for Accrington Stanley against Morecambe. Both teams recently been promoted to League 2. It's going to be a big game, I think. They're doing really well this season. Mid-table, probably a good position for them.
We've all got the giggle. Brinches, I'm so sorry. Brinches is so professional, he's trying to read out his fixtures.
Oh,
and our producer, supposedly the most professional man here, is writing things on bits of paper and holding them up behind our heads so only Chris and Sean can see, and we can't.
It is so funny.
Oh, it's really funny. Well done. Right, Brinches.
Apparently
stop
Matt
it.
Can't handle his drink, so...
Coming from the guy who's not producing the show today because he can't. Because he can barely see. He's just walking around with a bottle of Lucozade. Pathetic. Brinches. Pick of the games. Sorry. We did that. So who's going to win, Accrington or Morecambe?
It's going to be a close game. I'd give, as home advantage is at Accrington, I'd give it to them. They've already beaten them on Boxing Day, 2-1 away. So I think that they've just about got the edge.
So you'd go for Accrington in that game?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Accrington are having a great season. Obviously, ran Fulham close in the FA Cup. So I think they'll definitely be pushing for playoffs, hopefully anyway.
Fantastic. So that's your League One and League Two done for this week. Brinches, thank you very much.
No problem.
Coming up still on the show, we've got another fantastic feature called My Worst Moment in Football. J to the P is going to be doing his rap. We've got loads coming up, guys. My track of the week still to come. We're going to be having a debate next about our right back and our left back for our On FM favourite football team. So make sure you stay tuned. www.onfmradio.com or 101.4 FM. Let's have some Kano.
On FM Sport.
Yeah, that track ends rather abruptly, doesn't it, Chris? Yeah. Good track, though. Sean, you like that one, don't you? I love a bit of Kano.
We had a little dance.
Yeah, Brinch, you know. I think he's getting a bit annoyed with me.
I would be moving
around too much. Right, we do something on the show. We did a Facebook popularity contest where we decided who the most popular player, the most popular team was according to how many friends they have on Facebook. Now, what we're doing is we're seeing which is the most popular team according to the On FM football show. So, we did our goalkeeper. Our goalkeeper was Shay Given.
Yeah.
Last week, I'm afraid we made a little bit of a mistake last week, I must admit. We don't do it often. But last week, we talked about the right back and then we forgot to say who it was, who won. So I think, have we decided Steve Finnan?
I think so.
Yeah, we've decided Steve Finnan's the most popular right-back on FM.
Who is it? It was between Finnan...
Alexander.
And Glenn Johnson, yeah. My vote went to Finnan anyway, yeah.
And Brenches, did you go for Finnan?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you all said no to Alexander. Absolute legend. Anyway, so that's the right-back, Steve Finnan. Oh, Irish-looking team, isn't it? Talking about Irish, we've got a band called Acoustra coming into the studio for a little chat about the Milford House Hospice. They'll be here in about 15 minutes. They're going to be talking about a great charity night we had at O'Riordan's last night. It was all in aid of the Milford House Hospice and Milford House Hospice. They're going to be coming in about 15 minutes or so. We've also got Sean's going to be dragging himself off his chair to do his championship report. We're going to be having a little 90s player challenge between... Excuse me? You finished?
I'm just agreeing, sorry.
Awful. Doesn't turn up for 2 weeks, and then he does decide to turn up. He's wearing sunglasses.
My eyes stink.
True story, he's actually got sunglasses on.
And he's burping on air.
I was stretching. I was stretching.
Is there a way we can turn these other mics off? Right. Time for the left back.
That's not fair.
Brenchers, left back.
I thought I'd go... Delve down into League One, League Two, as soon as that's
you
my,
love a delve.
My expertise. And as Sean picked my first choice.
Whoa, come on, you're blaming me here. Just great minds think alike, man.
It's true. I think I'm going for Adam Drury of Norwich. He's a good left back, he's played 400 odd games, almost 300 league games.
Ian Drury?
For Norwich City. So I think a bit of a legend, really.
You're going for, and he said Ian Drury. You're going for Adam Drury as your choice of left back. Sean Keneal?
Ian Hart, I said.
Yeah.
Who's he play for now?
Carlisle.
Right. Yeah, definitely then. I've always been a big fan of Ian Hart. His old left peg on the free kicks.
Great left foot, hasn't he, Ian Hart?
Ooh.
What a left foot that boy's got.
One of the best.
You're going for Ian Hart. Chris, who's the left back you're going for? Oh, look at his face. He hasn't got a clue who he's going for. Come on, put one out there. Can I just say something that's popped into my head?
Yes.
I keep interrupting you, Chris. But it'll give you time to think. How good were those sausages last night?
Oh, yes! And the sandwiches.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
This is again, we're talking about the charity night at O'Riordan's last night. It's very loud, that typing, Chris. Chris is typing now to try and find a left. He's on Google typing.
Who is
Chris Ambrose's favourite left back?
Yeah, what were the sausages in?
Yeah, Worcester sauce.
Yeah,
that was
good.
At the charity night last night. There was
yum sausages
in Worcester sauce. They were immense. Immense. Chris, your time is up. Who's your left back?
Roberto Carlos.
Doesn't play in England. Next. Brenches. Oh, Brenches, you're done. Sorry, Brendan.
I'm going to go for Wayne Bridge.
You're going for Wayne Bridge. Do you want to add anything, or do you just go for Wayne Bridge?
Really good left back.
You're on Team Bridge.
I don't actually think Wayne Bridge is that good.
Well,
when it's not on how good they are, it's just who's your favourite.
I do like him, though. He looks nice. You know what I mean?
I just feel sorry for the guy, to be honest. I want to give him a hug.
Oh, don't get him in there out of pity.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He don't need your pity.
He doesn't need that kind of
vote. Well, you know, all right, I'm not going to put Ashley Cole in because I'm an Arsenal fan, so I'm going to put Wayne Bridge. Actually, no, I'll scrap all of that. I'm going for Paul Konchesky. Class act.
Oh, and don't we know it's the third... Oh, no, it's not the third time in a row you've done a Fulham player. It's the second time out of three.
Who?
Two out of three Fulham players
he's
done.
That?
Chris, time's up. Who's your left back? Come on, giggle monster. Who's your left back?
Cameron Davidson.
Who? Callum Davidson?
Cameron Davidson.
Who's that?
He's my favourite left back.
Who's Cameron
Has
Davidson?
Has been for years. He's who's, very good.
Who's he play for?
Football United Team Rovers.
Rinchers, do you have any comment on that?
No.
he only said that because he whispered Paul Konchesky in my ear.
That's
and
like,
I said, what?
That's
and then
like
he
me
went,
saying,
oh, I'll make one up.
It's like me saying my favourite's John Black or Baptiste from Dream Team. From the Dream Team. Amazing programme.
I didn't like it.
Sorry, he plays for Nottingham Forest.
Cameron Davidson. Are you thinking of Callum? There's a Callum Davidson, isn't there?
Oh.
Maybe there is a slight, who's also slight a left problem back. In that. Yeah, okay. I think I lose. Is this a competition? I think I've lost.
It's not a competition.
No, I think I've lost anyway.
Yeah, you've lost your place on the show. God, goodness me.
Right.
My choice for left back is... Hang on, let me get on Google. No, I'm not doing that.
Callum Davidson.
Callum Davidson. No, mine's going to be... who should I go
for? Oh, God, it's not like you haven't had time to think about it.
I'm joking. I'm going for...
Oh.
Someone whose name's escaped me. I'm going for Figueroa.
Ooh.
Figueroa is my favourite left back.
That's a good shout.
Just because he scored that amazing goal.
He's not Irish enough for me.
Oh, yeah. If we have Ian Hart, we've basically got the...
Oh, yeah. Hart, Finn and Given. Guess who's centre-back?
Gary Breen.
Done.
Yeah, Breen
as in
Dunn.
Richard, not Breen. Done. No, Kenny Cunningham. Does he still play?
Or Romeo Dunn.
Oh.
Right, well, we're going to have a little break. We're going to have a little break in a minute, and we will discuss, we'll have a vote in the studio about who our left-back's going to be. It's between some bloke called Cameron Davidson. It's between Paul Konchesky, Adam Drury.
Ian Hart.
And Maynor Figueroa from Wigan. So we're going to be debating that in the studio. You guys debate at home. Let us know who you think it should be. Email us, thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk. Get on Facebook. Right on our wall. Whatever you do, make sure you stay tuned. We've got an hour left. We're here with you on FM until 1 o'clock.
From Westminster to Heathrow and Wembley to Wimbledon, 24 hours a day. London's 101.4 on FM. FM Sport.
This is Matt Dean and welcome back. It's about 12:05 and you're listening to the On FM Football Show. We're broadcasting live from Hammersmith where the sun looks like it might be poking out through the clouds, but it's not. It's not the best day.
Still a bit
it?
Too bright for my liking.
I think it's a
morning.
Nice. Looks like a nice day for football in the park.
Yeah,
a really nice day
be.
For football in the
That'd
park.
That'd be quite refreshing, actually.
So, if you're going down to play football in the park, drop us an email, thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk. If you've got BlackBerry or an iPhone, you could do it while you're on the park. If you're on the park with the radio on playing football, how nice is that?
Oh yeah, especially if you've got this playing.
Hello park. See, so if they're on, everyone in the park's turning around.
Yeah.
Stop that dog.
Yeah.
See what I've done there, because.
Yeah. Square it.
Yeah. Oh, this is bad radio.
Could go on.
This is bad radio.
Bad as in good.
Sony Awards. Have a listen to us. Eh?
Huh?
Hmm?
Got a shout, have we?
Championship.
Let's
Sean Keneal.
Yes.
Sean Ely, as I like to call you now.
I like it.
Merging your first and your second name, Sean Ely. I was telling Sean the other day I've got this real problem at the moment because I'm watching too much Gavin and Stacey.
Exactly.
Of just
same.
Saying everything like everyone has to have a name.
Yep.
Ambrosia, Chris Ambrosia, yeah. Cristiano Ambrosia. It's just Gavlar.
It's just nice. It's just
have
nice.
Have you seen the episode where they sing World in Motion?
No.
Have you seen it, Brinches? Is it not the funniest moment ever where he goes, don't mind if I do, don't mind if I don't? Isn't that the funniest thing ever?
Brilliant.
Unbelievable.
What is that when they're singing in the car?
They sing World in Motion. You got to hold and
give and do it at the right time. You can be.
Yeah, and they all come out and sing.
Slow
it.
Or fast, but you must get to the. Yeah, on, yeah.
Like that.
Nine.
And then he says, oh, would you like some food, Smithy? And he goes, oh, don't mind if I do. Don't mind if I don't. But it's the fingers as well. And he's just. It's just hilarious. Anyway,
I can imagine it being.
Everyone's got to love Gavin and Stacey.
Yes,
such a good.
I was against it until Christmas time.
It's unbelievable.
I know. I never bothered with it. I hated it. I never really liked.
Would
James
you like to borrow the
Corden.
Box set? I've got it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, should we stop arranging our personal life now?
Yeah, probably an idea. Anyways,
Championship.
Yes, this weekend. Exciting stuff. Newcastle played Cardiff last night. First game of the day. Brent is hot off the press. What was it? The result
was 5-1. Absolutely brilliant result. From
I see Love and Kraz got two.
Yeah, and Andy Carroll.
And Andy Carroll got two.
Yep.
Love and Kraz has turned out to be quite a good player, you know. He bagged a hat-trick though in the FA Cup, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he was always going to be in the Championship, though. He did okay in the Premiership when he was there on loan.
I suppose.
And he's a good player. He did well for Rangers before, so.
Yeah, but I mean, 5-1. I mean, Cardiff are no mugs either. They're a good team. So that's pretty much cemented them up there again. So the rest of the games we've got, Barnsley are hosting Watford this weekend. Blackpool face Leicester, which would be a good game because they're both up there, like playoff area type. Bristol City Coventry, Doncaster Rovers versus Reading, that's a 5:20 kickoff. And Ipswich home to Middlesbrough. And Forest playing Sheffield Wednesday. Peterborough, bottom of the table, at home to QPR, Queen's Park Rangers local team. Must-win game for QPR, according to Matthew Connolly there. Plymouth hosting West Brom. Scunthorpe Palace, which I think is actually going to be a really good game because they're both kind of down there but pushing away from relegation.
And what a brilliant result in the week for Palace.
Exactly. 3-0 against Butterfield.
Wolves. Absolutely.
Hello.
Perfect what? Hat-trick.
Makeshift.
That was
whoa.
Unbelievable, wasn't it?
Right, left, bounce, bosh. That's what happened. So, the other games in the Championship. You got Sheffield United playing Derby. And Swansea Preston.
Johnny Minar's team.
Johnny Minar on the iPhone on the way back to Swansea with his missus giving him the evil eye. Yeah. Get off that phone. Get sick of bloody football.
Indeed. So, what's your pick of the games in the Championship today?
Scunthorpe Palace.
Scunthorpe Palace?
Yeah.
And who are you going for?
Palace 2-1.
Oh, is it at Scunthorpe?
Yeah.
Brenches, who are you going for?
I think Palace are a good team, and I don't think the administration stuff will affect them too much. Only in league position, really. They've not lost. You've still got players like Nathaniel Klein and Scott Dan, so.
Exactly. And Butterfield.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not scored a goal in 6 years.
Amazing if he scored again.
Apparently, he's actually playing up front against Scunthorpe.
Really?
Yeah, Alan Lee got a bit of a bash on the head last game, but they're going to patch him up for the game today.
How annoying if he turns out to be like the most unbelievable striker and he's wasted most of his career at left back.
I want him in the World Cup squad. Don't care. He's 30 now, Butterfield.
He's been around a long time, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Butterfieldio. That's what I'd probably say.
Danny me. Boy.
Oh, Danny the boy. Danny Oi the boy. Oi Paloi the boy. Danny. Butterface.
Butterfingers.
Oh. I can't believe it's not Danny Butterface.
Oh, I've been trumped.
If you've got any more of those, please get in contact with us. The email address is thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk, or you can get on Facebook, you can write on our wall. If you'd like to listen to us online, you can do that at www.onfmradio.com, or you can, of course, listen at 101.4 FM. Right, a new feature we're going to have on the show every week. It's called My Worst Moment in Football. Now, it's this week. It's, do you know what? I won't give it away. We're going to have a footballer every week who's going to kindly come on the show. Well, he's going to send us in a bit of audio of him explaining what his worst moment in football was. I think these are going to be quite interesting. I wonder what John Terry's would be. But for this week, we'll leave that maybe for another week. This week, let's see who's talking about their worst moment in football.
Aye, I remember it like it were yesterday. We were playing at Hampden Park against Norway in a World Cup qualifier. I came on with 10 minutes to go to replace James McFadden. Yeah, the crowd weren't happy, they booed. But I didn't mind, I was playing for Scotland. It was a dream come true. All I had to do was tap it in the goal. But I missed. an absolute sitter, and I missed it. I just felt empty. Have I watched it on YouTube? Aye, I've watched it a few times. People have left comments like, "You idiot, you should have scored. You cost us our World Cup hope." But I take it with a pinch of salt, you know. I was top scorer for Wolves that season. Well, just behind Ebanks Blake. Will I ever live it down? I hope so. I haven't played for Scotland much since. Yeah, I've read some of the articles. They're nasty. People say nasty things when they're angry. Will I ever forget it? No. I won't. I'm Chris Uwilumo, and missing the chance against Norway is my worst moment in football.
Chris Uwilumo there with his worst moment in football.
Oh.
We're going to be having more of those.
Oh, hello. He's not finished yet.
It's beautiful piano playing.
It is. Actually, I must say, there's a video on YouTube. If you type in the piano on YouTube, it's a little animated video of an old man. It's such a sad video. I defy anyone to watch that and not have a tear in your eye, honestly. It's an old man playing piano, and then his wife sits down next to him and starts playing piano. And then she kisses him on the cheek, and then she fades away because she's obviously died.
Oh.
So, and then he goes back to his youth, and then
and
you
he
see
used
him.
To, he used to play piano with her when she was alive, and he was playing.
Oh, mate, it's honestly, just go to YouTube, type, if you're sad, don't watch it. But if you want to be sad, who wants to be sad? Sometimes, but it's just really nice. Heartwarming. Go to YouTube, type in the piano, and just watch this animated video.
Is it as heartwarming as Chris Iwanamo's little story that we had?
Yeah. It is. That'll so next week, we'll see what's going to be next week. So every week we're going to have someone telling us what their worst moment in the game was. Right. This could be the best moment in the game for someone getting this accolade. Our left back. First of all, we decided our right back was Steve Finnan, and I can't believe it. We've now decided our left back, after having a vote in the studio, is Ian Hart.
Oh,
the
yes.
Favourite left back, the favourite left back who plays in Britain at the moment. We've gone for Ian Hart. So at the moment we've got Given, Finnan and Hart. We've got an all-Irish looking team.
Is that such a problem?
No, it's not a problem, but it's a strange coincidence.
I like it.
It's a very strange coincidence.
I see who shows up at centre-back.
I said Gary Breen and Richard Dunn, probably.
Kenny Cunningham, if only he still played. Phil Babb?
Love a bit.
Paul McGrath?
Paul McGrath.
No, am I clutching at straws?
Yeah.
All right, I'll stop.
Yeah. Do stop. Oh, Sean Keneally. I'd love to tell you a story about Sean Keneally last night, but I don't know whether I should.
What?
I don't know whether I should.
Those of you that know
me. Is mum listening, Sean?
Huh?
Is mum listening?
Probably not.
No. Just as well. She wouldn't have liked what she saw last night, I tell you that. Anyone at O'Riordan's pub in Brentford last night, send us an email, drop us a little email, or get on our Facebook page and tell us if you spoke to Sean Keneally last night, what kind of state he was in, or what kind of state any of the
wasn't
on FM...
wasn't too bad.
Any of the On FM football team were in. Just chat to a few of the On FM football team. If you chatted to a few of the On FM football team last night, then drop us an email. We'd love to hear from you. Coming up, I think we're going to hopefully have the band who were at Milford House, who were performing for the Milford House Hospice at O'Riordan's last night, hopefully coming in to chat to us. Stay tuned, we've got loads more.
On FM Sport.
Welcome back, this is Matt Dean and you are listening to the On FM football show. It's 10:15 here in Hammersmith, where the sun has just come out in our studio, as it always tends to do. And we have been joined by Acoustra, the band who were performing at the charity event at O'Riordan's last night, but they're getting their stuff together and they're going to perform, I'd say, in about 5 or 10 minutes' time, just tuning
can't
the guitars. I can hear the guitars being tuned in the background. Hot off the press, Brenches has just found me the team news for the 12:45 kickoff today, so I shall just run through the teams for you. Obviously, Liverpool-Everton playing today at 12:45. The Liverpool team is Reina, Carragher, Kyriakos, Agger, Insua, Mascherano, Lucas, Kaut, Gerrard, Maxi, Rodriguez. Is that his first start? So his first start, isn't it? I think that's his first start. And Ngo on the bench. Cavalieri, Aquilani, Riera, Aurelio, Babel, Dagan and Skirtle are on the Liverpool bench today. Once again, no Fernando Torres for Liverpool, so they may struggle. The Everton side is Tim Howard in goal, Neville, Distan, Heitinger, Baines, Fellaini, Landon Donovan, Osman, Cahill, Pienaar and Luis Saha. That's their starting lineup. On the bench is Carlo Nash. Get ready for this. Billy Edinov. There's only one of him, not three. I don't know why I said three times. Arteta, Yakubu, Senderos, Anichibi and Coleman. That's the Everton bench. So that's the team news. What are we thinking,
no,
Sean?
No Aquilani again on the bench again.
20 million on the bench again.
That's a travesty.
Result, Sean?
Oh, I don't know. I think Everton are playing really well, so they might sneak it.
Yeah?
Maybe a goal to nil.
Brenches?
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I think I might be a draw. I'm going for a draw in that one.
He's stealing my ideas today.
Does he?
Yeah,
he does that, doesn't he? Yeah. He does that. He listens to what other people say and he just repeats it. He actually knows nothing about
football. He doesn't even listen to what I say. He reads my thoughts. It's even worse.
Do you know what? There's something in his eyes like that. Yeah. I can see it in your eyes, Benches. He's a mind reader. He's a young Paul McKenna.
Ooh, lucky you.
Andy Statt. We've had two gems of questions from Andy Statt today. Let's have the third.
Third question of the day, guys. How's it going so far? Well, not so well after this one. So, lots of FA Cup action just gone by, but can you tell me who scored 7 goals in an FA Cup tie, but still finished up on the losing side?
So, Andy Statt's latest question. Who scored 7 goals in one FA Cup game and still ended up on the losing side? Is this a trick question? Maybe it was a two-legged tie. Did he score penalties as well? Maybe he scored 1 on penalties, 1 in extra time.
Penalties wouldn't count, would they?
I don't know. I don't know how Andy Statt's doing it.
Yeah, it depends. He doesn't tell the rules, does he?
So who scored 7 goals in an FA Cup tie and still ended up on the losing side? That's Andy Statt's question. Any idea, guys? Sean?
My mind is drawn a blank.
I can't think of who it could be.
How many goals did he say?
I want to say Andy Cole. Is it a player or a team? Do we know?
I think he said player.
You're quite close to Andy.
Well, apparently.
And Arino.
I was under the impression I wasn't allowed his contact details from you the other week.
So
you got very protective, Mr. Dean.
All right. He's a friend. I like to keep friends close.
He's a mutual friend.
So who are we going for? I'm going for Andy Cole. Andrew Cole, sorry.
It's got to be further back than that, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think it's back in the day when football was football.
Right.
What does that mean?
I'm going for Dixie Dean.
I'm going to spark up with Matt Letizia again.
Yeah? Matt Letizia? Sean? Let's have a guess, mate.
Cantona?
Awful guess.
I Brenches? Know.
I'm going back. Stanley Matthews, maybe?
Stanley Matthews, says Brenches.
That's a
and I'm going
show.
For my namesake, Dixie Dean.
Well, it was, of course, Dennis Law for Manchester City against Luton in 1961. He went and scored 6 goals in the 4th round tie, but the match was abandoned with City winning 6-2. The rescheduled match was won by Luton 3-1. Would you Adam and Eve it?
Would you Adam and Eve it, indeed? He scored 6 goals, and then it was abandoned.
I don't Adam and Eve it.
Dennis Law was the answer.
Wouldn't you feel a bit hard done by? Didn't he say they were like 6-2 up or something?
6-2 up, and then it got abandoned.
And then they went and lost 3-1. I'd be like, hang on, come on.
6 goals, though. Yeah, Dennis Law was a player, though, wasn't he? Like you say, when football was football.
Oh, yeah. He relegated Man U, didn't he? With a backheel for Man City against Man U.
God, can you imagine Man U getting relegated now? Just would not happen, would it?
I bet you'd like to see it.
Oh, I'd love to see it. I would love to see it.
My dad would be so upset, though. Not allowed to happen.
Coming up, we've still got a little 90s player challenge we're going to be doing in the studio. Of course, we've got Acoustra, who are going to be... I'm looking at one of the members of Acoustra now, and he looks like he's falling asleep. It was a big night last night, of course. If you weren't there, where were you? You should have been there. It was at O'Riordan's pub in Brentford, all in aid of the Milford House Hospice in County Limerick. Acoustra were there playing live. There were sausages in Worcester sauce, which was amazing, wasn't it, guys?
So good.
I think we were
and
all just talking about the sausages
timed
this morning.
To come out as like just hanging around, and suddenly there's just plates of food. And
they
like,
were amazing.
What? Thing about the music, but the sausages.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. The sausages were brilliant.
The music was good also.
Well, guys, make sure you stay tuned. If you'd like to get in contact with us, don't forget it's the football show at onfmradio.co.uk. Stay tuned.
101.4 on FM Sport.
This is Matt Dean and welcome back. You're listening to the On FM Football Show, where apparently earlier I said it was about 10 o'clock. I think I still wish it was 10 o'clock and I was in bed, but it's actually just coming up to 12:30 in Hammersmith, where the sun has come out. And with the sun, it has brought Acoustra, the band who performed live at Arena's last night. You right, guys?
Yeah, good.
We're gonna have a little chat with you in about 5 minutes or so, and you're gonna be playing a track for us. Did you enjoy the event last night?
Yes, we did. Well, we can remember of it.
Feeling a bit worse for wear? Well, we'll be chatting to Acoustra a little bit later, so make sure you stay tuned for that. They're going to be performing live. They're a fantastic band. Also coming up, we're going to be, hopefully, if we've got time, doing a quick 90s player challenge. We are, as well, going to be having J to the P doing his rap. If you'd like to get in contact with us, don't forget, it's the football show at onfmradio.co.uk. We'll be back in about 4 minutes.
London is on 101.4 on F. London's on FM. It's about more than just music. It's about great music all day long, like this.
I've got food in my belly, analysis for my daily, and nothing's going to bring me down.
Some of this.
Baby takes the morning train. He works from 9 to 10.
And more of this.
Let's take a ride along with the dogs tonight in the suburb.
Brendan Horgan, Rob Mulhern, Rob Brennan, 101.4 on FM Sport.
Welcome back. You're listening to the On FM Football Show. We've got half an hour left to go on the show today, and we have been joined by Acoustra. You've got a real treat today. We've had live music already for all the way from Wales. Johnny Minar came, and now we've got music coming all the way from Ireland. Guys, welcome to the studio.
Good morning.
Obviously, starting with football, we're a football show. Do we have football fans amongst you?
We do, yeah.
Who have we got fans? Who are we supporting? So we've got Liverpool fans.
Liverpool fan here, yeah.
And we've got a Man U fan in the back.
Man U!
Sit down, shut up.
Come on. how are Liverpool going to get on today?
Liverpool, Moses says. Oh, God, it's hard to call. It's hard to call. It could go anyway, couldn't it?
Yeah, it really could. Especially with Liverpool.
There's no Torres today, have we?
Sorry?
There's no Torres.
No Torres today, no. Aquilani's on the bench.
Rodrigo's, there's no Torres, though.
Do you think they'll do it? Do you think they'll get a win?
I think they'll beat them, yeah.
Be a scoreless draw to Liverpool.
so guys, you're gonna do a live track for us. What track are you gonna do?
I'm gonna do a cover of Paolo Nutini's Candy.
Oh, awesome. Guys, take it away. This is Acoustra. After you guys have performed, we'll talk about where people can get hold of your music, where they can hear more of your stuff, and where they can see you live.
Excellent.
This is Acoustra with a cover of Paolo Nutini's Candy. Off you go, guys.
Close.
fantastic. That was Acoustra with a cover of Paolo Nutini's Candy. Guys, that was absolutely fantastic. I was just thinking while you were playing, last week we had a rapper come in the studio and perform, and he was fantastic. And you were it's just amazing, like, the different music that we have in the studio, and it all sounds absolutely amazing. I hope you had your radio turned up really, really loud when you listened to that, because I think the studio here was absolutely rocking. I thought the ceiling was going to fall in. Guys, if people want to listen to your stuff, where can they get hold of your music?
Our website is www.acoustramusic.com.
Okay.
There are links to various sites and a little bit about everything that we do, what we have done, what we're going to do. We're in the process of creating a new website, which will be about 3 weeks, I'd say. It'll be ready.
Acoustra,
A-C-O-U-S-T-R-A.
Yeah, good to just get the spelling right. And you performed last night for the charity event at O'Rins Pub in Brentford.
O'Rins, yeah.
Just to let people know, if you still like to give money to that, call this number. This is O'Rins Pub, 0208 560 5543. That's 0208 560 5543. That's if you'd like to still give money. It's for a fantastic charity, and you guys were amazing last night.
We'll put those details on our website as well, what you've just called out there. So
check out your website. Can you download your songs on that, on there?
You can get samples of them, and we are set up with iTunes and Amazon. Again, maybe a fortnight, that'll be ready as well.
So you're going to be on iTunes?
Yeah, and Amazon. And all our, what we're doing at the moment is all charity work that we do for orphanages, and we've raised €500,000 since last four years.
Yeah.
So we continue to strive to pull money out of people's pockets any which way we can. We came over here for another good cause. We came over at our own expense. We just did this for the Milford Hospice that Alan is involved in the pub of Reardon's.
It's good fun, though.
Yeah.
It's great
you
fun.
Look like you're having a good
to
time.
Travel everywhere and just have fun.
Where are you based, then? Are you based in Ireland?
In Limerick.
West of Ireland.
And do you do gigs around there, then?
Well, we actually gig all over the world. I mean, last year we were in Azerbaijan, we were in Montenegro, we were in Helsinki.
Finland, yeah.
We go back to Azerbaijan again in March now. As soon as we go home, we've about 3-4 weeks and we're off again. Yeah,
we've a charity single coming out called I Knew the Italian Dancer. I think you guys have it as well.
Yeah.
And that's, I need the proceeds that makes is for the kids in Baku in Azerbaijan.
Fantastic. And so, people can get that and all the details on your website.
At Facebook as well.
On Facebook. Are you on MySpace?
MySpace.
Yeah. Tell everyone your website one more time.
www.acoustramusic.com.
Okay, so make sure you check that out and you hear more of the same. Fantastic. Guys, thank you very much for coming
thank
in.
You, lads. Have a safe
flight back. Make sure you check out Acoustra's MySpace, check out their Facebook, get on their website, download some of their music. Guys, that was fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Can I just say this as well?
As 101.4 on FM Sport.
Now for your international domestic league roundup. In Italy, AC Milan missed a chance to close the gap on Serie A leaders Inter Milan to 6 points as they were held to a 1-1 draw by relegation-threatened Livorno. Massimo Ambrosini opened the scoring for Milan in the final minute of the first half, but Livorno levelled 8 minutes after the break thanks to Cristiano Lucarelli. Milan moved to 8 points behind Inter, whose match at Parma was postponed due to snow, and although they remain second, they have now been caught by Roma, who are level on points with Milan following their victory over Siena, although Roma have a game in hand. Roma's 2-1 win over bottom of the table Siena was secured by second-half substitute Stefano Okaka, who struck 3 minutes from full-time. New Juventus boss Alberto Zaccheroni had to settle for a point at the Turin Stadio Olimpico in his first match in charge as they played out a 1-1 draw with Lazio. The former Lazio manager saw his team take the lead through Alessandro Del Piero's 70th-minute penalty. However, Stefano Mauri grabbed the equaliser 8 minutes later by volleying home across from Mauro Zaretti. The result lifted the Turin outfit to fifth in the standings and leaves Lazio 2 points above the relegation zone. In transfer news, McDonald Mariga has joined Inter Milan on a permanent transfer from Parma after missing out on a move to Manchester City. The Kenyan midfielder, whose planned switch to City failed to materialise due to work permit issues, has signed a 4.5-year contract with the Serie A side. Inter Milan fullback Amatino Mancini has switched to City rivals AC Milan on a 6-month loan deal, and Holland striker Klaus-Jan Huntelaar is to stay at AC Milan for the rest of the season. Huntelaar had been linked to the move to the Premier League, having failed to impress at Milan, scoring 3 goals in 12 games since his summer move from Real Madrid. Former Arsenal midfielder Matteo Flamini, a reported target on Manchester City, has also indicated he'll be staying at Milan. In Spain, Sevilla jumped up to fourth place in the Primera Division with a 2-1 home victory over Valencia. Alvaro Negredo put Sevilla 2-0 in front by scoring after 21 and 69 minutes with a second goal, an impressive 20-yard chip over Cesar Sanchez. David Navarro headed a 90th-minute consolation for Valencia, but they were unable to seriously threaten against us. Their third place in the table was weakened, with Sevilla now just 3 points behind them. Pedro's goal proved enough to give Barcelona their 16th league win of the season as Guardiola's side edged out Sporting Gijon 1-0. The win keeps Barca 5 points clear at the top of the table as Real Madrid recorded their first victory at Deportivo La Coruña in almost 2 decades. Madrid had not won at Deportivo since the 91-92 season, had been defeated in their last 6 visits, but that ended with a 3-1 victory for the Madrid side. Esteban Granero headed Madrid in front early on, and Karim Benzema doubled the lead just before the break following an audacious back heel from Guti. The home side pulled a goal back in the 87th minute through Ricky's penalty, but Madrid restored their 2-goal advantage in injury time when Benzema fired home his second of the match. In Germany, Bayer Leverkusen scored 3 goals in 4 minutes late in the first half as they surged back to the top of the Bundesliga with a 3-1 victory at home over Freiburg. Leverkusen are the league's only undefeated team and registered their 4th straight victory to improve to 44 points, giving them a 2-point lead over second place Bayern Munich. Munich claimed a comfortable 3-0 win over Mainz at a wintry Allianz Arena. After a frustrating first half, Bayern finally went ahead in the 58th minute through Daniel van Buyten. Mario Gomez and Iron Robin completed the scoring to seal the Bavarians' 7th straight victory. And now you're up to date with the European Domestic League results on 101.4 on FM.
Fantastic. That was Cristiano Ambrosio with his... that could be a good name for you in your little European... Cristiano Ambrosolino. That was absolutely fantastic. The thing I thought about that, the thing I picked out was Huntelaar. Not scored many goals since he went to AC Milan, has he?
No, it's interesting.
And do you think that's why no one went for him?
Yeah. And obviously, form's a big issue, so I think...
Because he had quite a big reputation, didn't he? And then it's...
Yeah. Well, I reckon he could easily move and start scoring again. So
is he one of these players, like a Kesman and some more that I can't think of? That
he gets scared of all the money that people bid for him and then can't score.
Because a lot of these players come from Dutch football especially and don't really cut it.
Mm.
Van Nistelrooy was maybe the only exception.
Mm.
Mm, a thinking point. Akustra just played live. They were absolutely fantastic. And the lead singer of Akustra did want to shout out for Hazel McCarthy, and that's his daughter, and she's 3 tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Hazel.
Happy birthday, Hazel. That was so CBBC, wasn't it? And she's... Mummy and Daddy say happy birthday. You know, they do that on CBBC. I'd love to be a CBBC presenter.
You know, I went to the Watford match on Tuesday night, and because the last game was cancelled because of the snow, they did the shout-outs at that game. They might not have been at that game. People's birthdays about 2 weeks ago by then. Just seemed a bit silly to me. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Tumbleweed. Right, we've been building it up. We've got a 90s player challenge coming up. The 90s player challenge, which we play every week in the studio. It's the semi-final has been postponed so much, which is meant to be between Sean, Brench to the Lee, and Rob Brennan. But he's again not here due to illness. So he's basically got until next week, I think. If he's not here by next week, then he's out. It's called off, and the two... Sean and Brench are in the final. Sean's actually eyeing him up already.
I got my eye on you.
He's scary. He is scary.
Oh, yeah. So the glasses will be off when we go down.
So for a laugh, and as it's a very Irish-themed show, we've got 3 Irish players in our on-FM team. We've just had Acoustra playing live. We thought we'd do 90s Irish players. So I know it's just... We just do it for a laugh today. It's not really a big competition, is it? It's not that important.
It's Dean and Horgan head-to-head in the 90s Player Challenge.
That was the old one. That was the old one. We used to do Dean versus Horgan head-to-head in the 90s Player Challenge. Now it's been opened out to the whole of the football team. So, we did this before with England, 90s England players. Who won that? Was it you, Brenchers? Oh, it was Chris. Chris got a shock win.
Thanks, yeah. But actually, I was disqualified for being wrong.
Oh, so that was void.
That was right. Brennan has got it from via default.
Because I think it was Mr. Brennan text in to mark me down, which was nice of him.
I see. Mm. Right. Are we ready for another night for a 90s player challenge now? Who would like to start? 90s Irish players. 90s Irish players. I'll start. Hoping it doesn't come round again. I'll start with Andy Townsend.
Pat Bonner.
Kevin Sheedy.
Dennis Irwin.
Steve Staunton.
Tony Cascarino.
John Aldridge.
Niall Quinn.
Roy Keane.
you took the one I was going for, so I'm going to drop out.
Robbie Keane?
90s.
He would have been 90s. Yeah. He would have been late 90s.
Ray Houghton.
Kevin Kilbane.
Tony Cascarino.
Said it.
No, I thought you had.
No.
Phil Babb.
Kenny Cunningham.
Alan Kelly.
Gary Kelly.
Ian Dowie.
Are we doing Northern Ireland? Yeah, Ian Dowie. You're gone.
I'm out, yeah.
Mike Taylor.
Shea Given.
Is he 90s?
Yeah.
David Healy.
Ooh.
Paul McGrath, has that been done?
Yeah, no, that's good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's nice, fine, come on.
The one that was just in my head. The one that was just in my head.
Too long.
No. Yeah, that's
bye.
Too long.
Bye. Yes. Too long.
I just had one in my head. What was it?
Gary Kelly.
I said that.
Have you?
Oh, what was it?
Good. Steve Finnan. Steve Finnan.
No? Ian Hart. Did anyone even say Ian Hart? Brenches, you win.
Yes.
You're the winner.
I couldn't take Matt.
Do you know,
when
I had
an
Northern Irish... In
Brenches is the master of Ireland and England.
He is.
One.
He is.
I had no one.
Right. From that fun, and from that little bit of fun, to another little bit of fun, J to the P. It's time for a bit of J to the P. He'll rap about a player, and then he'll give us the answer. So, who's J to the P rapping about this week?
Easy on FM listeners, this is me, J to the P, or as you may know me, Jermaine Pennant from Rails Era Golfer. As usual, I'm going to be chatting you some lines, but first, I got one message. I heard you on the show last week, man. Yo, Stealth MC, you can't catch me, because I'm the one and only J to the P. That's right, Stealth MC or MC Stealth, whatever your name is. You had some heavy lines last week on the OnFM football show. But you can't match me, blood. I'll go head-to-head with you anytime. But for now, can you guess which player I'm rapping about this week? This man's them knows how to pass a ball. He ain't too big, he's actually quite small. He's always worn the same club shirt. Be careful when he tackles you, you might get hurt. I can tell you from experience, blood, bare experiences, that this man's tackles hurt. Miss timing and all that. J to the P would like to thank, of course, my celebrity beatboxers. Continue. This week, Micah Richards. Thank you very much, Micah. Your beatboxing was heavy. So, which player was I rapping about, man? Can you guess? I don't think so.
J to the P there, rapping about a player. Now, the clues were, he's worn the same club shirt his whole career. When he tackles you, you'll get hurt. And he's not too big. He's actually quite small. Any ideas, guys? Throwing it out there.
I have an idea.
Go on, then.
Paul Scholes.
Scholesy. Chris Ambrose.
Got to be Paul Scholes.
Brent Chiarino.
First I thought Neville maybe, but I think Scholes.
You're going for Scholesy. Well, Gary Neville. Yeah.
I first thought was Neville, but I'm going to go with the team and go for Scholesy there.
Yeah, because there was another clue, wasn't there, that he's a good passer of the ball, so it could be Scholes. Well, J to the P, over to you.
Okay, back up. That was an easy one, all right? I was rapping about the Ginger Dynamo, the worst tackler ever to play in the Premier League. Paul Scholes, innit? Manchester United legend. If you didn't get that, you must either be thick or you just ain't thinking. So I suggest next week you brush up on your research and join me, J to the P. I better catch my flight, man. Yeah, I'm catching a flight to Brentford tonight. I'll be the man in the corner, all roped off and that. Yeah, I'll be sipping Cristal. Ha! On FM. Laters!
Well, he's a bit late for catching a flight to Brentford tonight, isn't he? He should have caught one yesterday. I think he was referring to the charity night at the O'Riordan's pub last night.
Ah, oh, I was hoping he'd show up.
So, guys, you were right. It was J to the P. And did you see him roped off in the corner drinking Cristal?
Was that J to the P?
What, rapping?
No, the one in the corner roped off.
Yeah.
I didn't realise, because I saw an entourage, but yeah. I didn't realise
that J to the P
was in the house.
He was the one doing like breakdancing to Acoustra.
I thought that was you, Matt.
Next to me doing the robot.
I thought that was you.
Yes. Right, every week I pick my favourite track of the week. So I can't be bothered to deal with it now. I've got 5 minutes left of this, then I'm off home. Right, my track of the week is an absolute banging tune this week. We're going to turn this up nice and loud. We're going to turn it loud in the studio, turn it up nice and loud at home. It's a great track. It's by a band called Phoenix. It's 1901. Fantastic track that's released this week. Guys, we've only got about 10 seconds left. We will see you next week. Make sure you tune in. We'll be here from 10 o'clock till 1 o'clock on the OnFM Football Show. In the meantime, email us, thefootballshow@onfmradio.co.uk. See you next week, guys.